This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go. All right, come on, let's get started. Today we're going to start a series on Made to Be Like God. I think the problem with the body of Christ is that we have an identity crisis, that we don't know who we are, so therefore we live way below our potential that we have in God. God created us to function in the same manner, in the same method that he did. Matter of fact, over in Genesis 1:16, when God when he created man, he said, let us, which is the plurality, the Elohim, let us, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, let us create man in our own image and after our likeness. Just like God is the triune being, you are a triune being. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. Your soul is like your fingerprint. It is uniquely you. Nobody else has the same thought pattern that you have. Your ideas, your feelings, the things that you go through are uniquely you. So every soul is accountable unto God. So when he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, then he said, let them. He started out by saying, let us. Let the plurality of God. Let us create somebody just like us and then let them. So God is saying, listen, I want them to have the same potential, the same ability that I have. I'm creating offspring. I'm creating children. So let us, let them have dominion. And see, we're supposed to live in the world to where we're not under the circumstances, but we're controlling the circumstances. We're supposed to be the ones that be able to get a prayer through. We are the change agents in the earth. He's given us keys to the kingdom of God. He's given us access to the very throne room of God, not to come timidly, but boldly into the presence of God, knowing that whenever we walk into the golden throne room of God, the angels stand up at attention. They herald the coming of the children of the Most High, and we have an audience with our Heavenly Father. He's always glad to see us. He's always had the scepter out welcoming us into his presence. So he said, let them have dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It was God's original intent that you and I would live in a world that is dominated by the spiritual presence of God in us. Dominated by the spiritual presence of God in us. What happened was our program got corrupted in the garden. It was in the garden where Satan came in and entered a virus called sin. And that virus corrupted our program. And it entered in something that had never been entered into man, and that was the first question of doubt. When he came in, he told the woman, God has not surely said, you shall not surely die. Because God knows in the day that you eat of, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And because we didn't have a clue as to who we were, the identity of who we are, we fell for the old rope-a-dope and we thought we were somebody else, didn't know we were already like God. Didn't know that we already had the same potential. God wasn't hiding anything from us. He was protecting us. We are always created to make decrees and not questions. God said, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. And when we begin to question the very creator, our Heavenly Father, it separated us from God. It brought doubt. And because of that, we were able to disobey God because we believed someone else other than our Heavenly Father. And when we disobey God, we disassociated ourselves with God and we became enmities or enemies of God. Why? Because you sided up with the wrong parent. You made the devil your father.
Everybody who does not believe God, Satan is your daddy. I want you to know that. If you don't believe God, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your heavenly father, Satan is your daddy. The Bible says, and it questions over in Psalms 8 and 4, because we always wonder about who we are. And so Psalms 8 and 4 asks the question, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou would visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than an angel, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and have put all things under his feet. We know that Jesus is the forerunner. We know him to be the second Adam, but he has caused us to become sons and daughters unto God by putting faith in the finished work on Calvary. And because of that, we became heirs and joint heirs with God. We became sons and daughters. And therefore, we have the right to the same promises, the same inheritance that Jesus has. He says, all sheep, oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the sea, O Lord, how excellent is thy name. God wants you to have authority and dominion. Right now, we can't even have dominion over the parcel of ground that God has put us in, which is our bodies. Before we conquer the world, we need to conquer this parcel of ground right here. He said, I give you dominion over all the earth. Well, you were created or formed from the dust of the ground, so therefore you got to first get dominion over this earth suit that you're in. And you have to realize that your body now is no longer just a physical housing of your soul. Your body now has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's a place where God resides. Once you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes up residence on the inside of you. He even spoke the same thing in the book of Hebrews. So if it's in the Old Testament when he questioned what is man, and then Hebrews chapter 2 and 6, it says the same place when he's referring to this, trying to give us a memory jogger as to who we are in God. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, once again, he said, in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou would visit him? Now, it gives you more reference to Christ in this verse, for it says, for thou made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor, and then set him over the work of his hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. For in that he has made all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a lower Lord than the angel for the suffering of death, and crowned with glory and honor. Why? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why was that so important? What is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He died in our place to reverse the curse that was put on us in the Garden of Eden, to rid us from the infection of sin. He is the antidote for the virus that has corrupted our soul. Jesus is the atonement. He is the cleansing blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now, it's funny. The Bible said Jesus had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. He had never suffered that before. He had never had to take the accusation of sinners. He had never had to be accused and lied on, spit on, a crown of thorns put into his head. At any time, he could have spoke a word and changed all of that. But he held his peace for the sake of us, knowing that he had to go through what he went through in order to deliver us. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He endured the cross, he said, for the joy that was set before him. He didn't look at what he was going through. He looked at what was on the other end, bringing many sons and daughters unto God. Verse 12, say, I declare thy name unto my brethren. Matter of fact, let me go back to 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are one. Jesus is the one who sanctifies, and we are the ones who are sanctified. Therefore, we are one with him. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them or us brethren. For he saying, for the saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And in the midst of the church, in the midst of the what? The church. He didn't say in the midst of Israel. He didn't say in the midst of the sanctuary or the synagogue. He said in the midst of the church, which is the body of Christ, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children, talking about you and I, which God gave me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, talking about Jesus. The Bible said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is Lord. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage because of death. But guess what? Jesus told Martha when Lazarus had died, and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, listen, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he went on to say, he who liveth and believeth on me shall never die. That's right. There's no death for the believer. We go from life to life eternal. Death is not the physical cessation of life in these physical bodies. Death is separation from God. Death is just the transference. When you see somebody in the coffin, that's just a transference. Where you're going from there determines on the choice that you make in this life. Either you're going to spend eternity with God or you're going to wake up your eyes in hell in torment in a flame. Hope somebody come and dip their finger and cool your tongue in the water because you're in torment. Torment. And hell is not the final resting place. Hell is like going to the county jail waiting for the eternal sentence of the lake of fire. And there is no parole. There's no reprieve. There's no reversal of the sentence. Once you're there forever and ever and some more evers. So make the choice on this side to give your life to Christ and have eternal life imparted unto you simply because you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He rose for your justification, and now you have made him the Lord of your life. Therefore, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And can I hear somebody say amen up in here? Amen. For verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, to my made like you and I, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people. For that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure or succor them who are tempted, because he went through the same thing we went through. The Bible said we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He remembers our frames. He knows we're just dust. He knows when we get angry, we get upset. He knows the temptations. He knows the things that we go through. He was in all points tempted just like we were, but yet without sin. In other words, he became the sinless sacrifice for you and I. He who knew no sin became sin. Sin was placed on him, our sin. In exchange, his righteousness was given unto us. We became the righteousness of God through him. God gave the earth to man and not to the devil. When God created the earth in Genesis, he made for you to have dominion and not Satan. Satan stole the authority in the garden from man, and that's when Satan became the god of this world. And so Jesus came to take it back. In Psalms 115:16, it says, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth he has given unto the children of men. God has given the earth to us to rule. Satan came and stole it. Jesus came to take it back. Man was supposed to be the god of this world ruling over the earth. At the time of the fall, man gave his authority over to Satan and Satan became the god of this world. Genesis 2:16-17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And because we didn't obey the voice of God, death passed on all mankind. When you obey the voice of the devil, you give up your authority. When you obey the voice of the devil, you give up the authority that you have, and he becomes your Lord, because whosoever you submit yourself to, that you become the servant of. A lot of folks serving sin, they're serving the devil and don't even know it. See, your obedience is a form of worship. When you obey God, that's a form of worshiping God, because you're keeping his commandments, because you love him, because you obey his word. But when you start obeying Satan, then you make Satan your Lord. You submit your will unto him, and now he has authority over your life. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. What, know ye not that whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, rather of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanks that we were, somebody say past tense, we were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that doctrine which was delivered unto you. You have obeyed from your heart. The Bible said that the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word that we preach. The word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And so it's so important that we understand it's not just a head knowledge, that we really have to let the Lord sit upon the throne of our heart. He is our umpire. He is our guide. The Holy Spirit unctions us, and he convicts us when we do wrong. He gives us a chance to repent, because godly sorrow leads to repentance. But when you become so seared that you can sin without conscience, without conviction, and don't care and just keep on going, you fall into what is called a reprobate mind. When Adam obeyed Satan, he became the servant of sin. In fact, all of mankind became the servant of sin, a servitude which should be obvious to any observer of human nature. As with any conquered country, the children are also captive. The human desire to follow one's own inclinations can be seen everywhere. The sons of God became the sons of Satan because they gave over their authority. They gave over their power. The Father has arranged for a wonderful way for humanity to be translated from the sons of Satan back unto the sons of God. The way that he did that was by offering his only begotten son. I want to tell you just how responsible your heavenly Father is. As a father, how much he loves you. See, he knows that if he had never placed a restriction in the garden, that man could not have sinned, because there would have been no law to break. And so he knows that because he set that there, he took responsibility for delivering you by sending his own son to die in your place. That's how responsible our Heavenly Father is. He paid the sin debt of the sin that we committed, because it would not have been no sin if he had not put the law there for us to break. For where there is no law, there is no consequence for sin. But him being a responsible father took the responsibility upon himself and put the suffering that we deserve on his own begotten son. He did that for you and I. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you think that the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross doesn't have any value to you, if you think that really that's just a fairy tale that, you know, only weak-minded people will go to that. If you think that you good enough to serve, to save yourself. I had one person tell me that they don't believe in God. They don't believe nobody can die for them. They working out their own salvation and their own life, and talking about they're doing this thing and they on probation. They get ready to go to court, got jail. I said, well, how's that working out for you? You know, you in this thing, you doing it your own thing. I said, how's that working out? I said, you get through beating your head up against the wall long enough. Don't forget, God still loves you. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be delivered. But you can't call until you first got to humble yourself. Because you can't do it. I said, you ain't got the price to pay. You ain't got the, how you going to save yourself? You can't. Ain't nothing you can do to keep yourself from going to hell. You ain't got enough money. You can't do enough good works. You can't be enough kind enough. It's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 1. See, when Jesus came, he delivered us from the power of darkness. We're no longer servants of sin, no more. So it says in Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, before you got saved, you had the can't help it. I mean, sin drove you around, it pushed you around, it did what you had to do. But now the things that you do, you're doing by choice. And the Bible said, choose this day who you will serve. See, ain't no oops, I accidentally committed sin, because you know better. You may have did it willingly, but if there's a conviction that comes after that, you still can repent of it. And repentance doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent. No. The Bible said, lay not again the foundation of repentance against dead works. That means, listen, godly sorrow ought to get you to a point that where you have made a determination that I ain't falling for the rope of dope again. I'm not even going to fall for my own inclinations. Sometimes you got to say, Lord, save me from me. Deliver me from myself. Because you know what's in me. You know what I feel like I want to do. Keep me from hurting somebody. Keep me from hurting myself. And every time we sin against somebody, we don't just sin against them, we sin against God. And we're God's children. Now, especially if you're a born-again believer and you go out there messing over people. I remember my pastor used to say, listen, if you out there you out there messing up in the street, don't tell nobody you go to my church. Sometimes Jesus would be saying, don't tell nobody you say, please. Wait till you get your act together. Romans 8:11. It said, but if the spirit of him which raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth where? In you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it into subjection. He had the same inclination. Folks got mad. He wanted to cut off heads like Peter. He saw some woman. He probably lusted after her. He probably saw stuff when he was hungry and said, ain't nobody looking. You know, but he said, I beat my body and I bring it into subjection. Now here's the thing. When you're born again, God deposits his Holy Spirit down on the inside of you. And it's God who will put in you both the will and the ability to do his good pleasure. Not only that, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Now whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot commit sin because his seed dwells inside of him. The Spirit of God is in us. We don't go after sin, run after sin. We don't do that. And if we do, the Bible said we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not partial unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're led by God's Spirit, if every time something happens, that what would Jesus do come up on the inside of you, and you know how you could respond, even if you had opportunity to respond. You know you could get back if you chose to, but instead you chose to forgive. You chose to let it ride. Why? Because your future is too important. Your destiny that you have cannot be derailed by a momentary act of ignorance, because you do something out of an emotion and your whole life now is wrecked. Because they cut you off in the car and you jumped out and went in road rage and somebody ended up dead or in jail instead of you just signing it on. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, God. We are the children of God. We are not going to be the children of God. See, you don't even understand who you are yet. The magnificence of the glory of who you are, because you are the child of the Most High God. You don't understand how you're going to be illuminated, how God is going to take you to a place to put you over the entire works of his hands. If the Trinity is a triangle, you're going to feel everything in the middle. You're going to be one. He said, that day we shall be one even as he is one. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has already prepared for those who love him. Your future is too important. You cannot give in to a momentary act of foolishness and shipwreck and derail your life when you could be something great in God. You could be prosperous in God. There's a lot of people in jail with regrets. Let anger get to them, a fit of anger, and they did something. And as soon as that jail cell door closed, boom, they ain't angry no more. And the devil on the other side laughing at you. Let me go see what other fool I can go out here and get. This is why the Bible says that when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. He was like a sheep before the shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Why? Because when he opened his mouth, when E.F. Hutton speaks, God creates. And if he had said something adverse, it would have happened. It would have happened. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. You hear what he's saying? You are heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What does it mean to be an heir? That means you have an inheritance. Everything that belongs to the Father is yours. Equal shares. Everything. You're a joint heir with Christ. Lord, have mercy. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip of Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Gave up.